Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Sports Report. Glad to have you. I'm Packer Dave. We got a lot of sports geeks all over the country, even into Canada, ready to talk NFL, Major League Baseball, and more today on the program. We'll go to Steve Leventhal after the first break. He covers the Bears at Hallis Hall in Chicago and has got some Bears audio for us as it's Bears-Packers week, week one of the National Football League season. And, you know, then they play again Thanksgiving night. So the Bears and the Packers have some good matchups, good time slots this year for their games. Also, we'll go to John Poulter, our professor of sports, later in the program. Look at Major League Baseball as the pennant race heats up. Jeff Rich will join us to talk about the rest of the NFL as the show progresses. And from Chicago, sports writer Fred Mitchell, prominent sports writer from Chicago for many years, a few decades, actually. We'll talk to him about the Packers and the Bears. He's from the Chicago Tribune. So the Packers and the Bears on Sunday, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck will be doing that game. That may be good news or bad news, depending on who you are. If the Packers sweep the series this year, they will tie the all-time series between the Packers and the Bears. It wasn't that long ago that the Bears had a pretty big advantage in that. And it'll be a noon kickoff in Chicago for the Green Bay-Chicago game. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. New coach in the Chicago franchise, John Fox, along with new offensive coordinator Adam Gase. A lot of changes on offense for the Bears, and we'll get into all of that when Steve Leventhal comes on and Fred Mitchell comes on. But for Green Bay, you know, Mike McCarthy, he's been there a long time. He started in 2006, so this is his 10th season as a Packers coach. And that's a long run in the National Football League. And here McCarthy talks about preparing for the Bears, Green Bay and Chicago.
I think it makes for good press, but you know it's also you know our first game. We have obviously great respect for the history of this great rivalry, and I think it's important for your young players to understand that. But at the end of the day, when the ball's kicked off, you know it's the 2015 you know Packers playing. The Bears. So that's really what we'll focus on. It's our first opportunity to go down and play football and really get out and show what you know what we've been working on and do whatever we need to do to win the game. So you can't be building these games up one bigger than the other because they're all so important. You get to play 16, you're guaranteed 16, and you got to max out every opportunity. And that's really what we're doing. We're maxing out you know our preparation to get ready to go win this game. But with respect to history, but that's really something that you know that stays off the field, in my opinion. It's once you cross the white lines, we're worried. You know, we're focused on defeating the guys coming off the other side of the field.
All right, head coach Mike McCarthy of the Packers, a short bus ride down to Chicago on I-43, then turning into 94 and going down to Soldier Field. The Packers and the Bears. Now, Packers running back Eddie Lacy, one of the elite runners in the National Football League at this point in his career. He's going into year number three. And with Eddie Lacy, with Aaron Rodgers, with Randall Cobb, you've got some all-pro players right there. Devontae Adams has to step up at the other receiver position. Richard Rodgers at tight end needs to have a good second year. And hopefully the Packers offense can maintain its dominant level. Here's running back Eddie Lacy.
You know, the guys that have to step up, you know, they're going to have to, you know, do what they're here to do. And as far as the running back, the running game go, we have to continue to do what we have to do.
With the Bears switching to a 3-4, what are you guys looking at there?
I mean, we just try to find any weakness we can. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It never is easy. But I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Hopefully, you know, we can find some things that we can manipulate with the switch. And, it's all about being a pro. Anytime they put more on your plate, you know, it's your job to make sure you're able to carry that load and make the most of every opportunity that they give you. So, you know, if I do get the ball more, that means, you know, they have that much more faith in me and I have to continue to deliver. Just our play style, you know, going into every game, going into every year, you know, there's stuff that we want to accomplish as an offense. And the first game is an opportunity to go out and prove that. So, you know, that's where we are as a team.
All right, Eddie Lacy. I have watched the Packers since the John Brockington era, and none has been as dominant as Eddie Lacy has been. I'm glad he's on our team. We're on a Super Bowl run, Super Bowl 50 this year. It's apropos that the Green Bay Packers win it. We'll have Steve Leventhal from Hallis Hall coming back. Also, Fred Mitchell from the Chicago Tribune. So stay with us. You're listening to the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. A lot coming back, so hang with us.
Are squirrels attacking your bird feeder or getting into your chimney or attic? This is Danny Lifter with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a humane way to solve this fuzzy tail problem right after this.
Siding that captures the look and feel of natural wood and is easy to maintain, you can have both with Royal Estate Siding. Living with Royal Estate means never having to trade sag resistance and low maintenance for timeless exterior design and curb appeal. Its partial rollover hem provides exceptional wind load resistance, and it comes in a wide range of UV-resistant colors that match virtually any home. Wood grain presence and effortless endurance come together in the same siding. Learn more about Royal Estate Siding at royalbuildingproducts.com.
Squirrels can be entertaining to watch, jumping, playing, and swinging like acrobats. But for the most part, they're mischievous little rodents who sometimes get into and mess up our homes. You need to get rid of them, but issues of conscience aside, killing them isn't the solution since they might die inside your home, creating a smellier problem. The solution, believe it or not, may be shaving cream. Squirrels hate the stuff. If you have squirrels in your chimney, attic, or attacking food in bird feeders, try creating a barrier of shaving cream. Here's another suggestion. While it may smell good to you, squirrels also hate the smell of aftershave lotion even more. So if these furry little acrobats have invaded your home, don't reach for the poison. Just give them a fragrant splash and watch them run away. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this. The band that's playing this song is called the Happy Schnapps Combo. They're from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. I went to school there 10 years.
Please pass the shots! Hey.
From the first grade to the 10th grade in Manitowoc back in the 70s. I could look out my window and see Lake Michigan. That's how close I was to the lake right there in Manitowoc. Now, from Chicago, we bring in Steve Leventhal. He covers the Bears at Hallis Hall each week and was at the midweek press conferences. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, you live close to Lake Michigan. Why, is that where the juvenile detention center was?
that's funny. Now, I did. I lived so close, you could look out the window and there was a lake. And I went to a school that when you played kickball, the big goal was to kick it so it rolled down the hill and into the lake. That's how close the lake. But it was cold in the winter and you could smell fish and alewives over there.
Oh, I bet you could smell the fish out there and the paper
and
mills.
And I know you live close to the lake also and where we worked.
Right, and for people who've never seen, I mean, Lake Michigan, you know, you think of a lake.
Let's be quick with this.
You cannot see the other side. It looks like an ocean. It's beautiful. And I bet it's, and I've heard it's really beautiful up where you are.
All right.
In all seriousness.
I'm sorry, everybody. We got sidetracked. You know, you get sidetracked, then you got a guy like Steve that comes on who will further sidetrack you. Got to stop it right there. At Hallis Hall, Steve, tell us what the mood was. Are they ready for the new season and all this new stuff with John Fox and Adam Gase? Must be a lot of anticipation for the first game.
Well, they're ready for the new season, but you know, the preseason there was a lot of injuries, there was a lot of inconsistency on the offense, and you know, one of the comments that Martellus Bennett said, I don't know if it's in our clip or not, but he was asked about working with all the different receivers. He goes, you know, I just get in the huddle, and you know, sometimes I see the same faces and whatever, but it's just the way we roll.
Now, we'll have Fred Mitchell join us here shortly. He's from the Chicago Tribune. But a lot of these people that go to these press conferences, they've been doing that. I started out there in 93, and a lot of these people are still around, you know, from way back then.
Well, there's not as many as you would think. There's a handful of old-timers, and although Cheryl Ray would not want to be called an old-timer, but she's still there. John Mullen is there. I see Dan Pompey, Rick Tellender occasionally. But, no, there's a lot of young faces, a lot of new faces. So
there's a lot of old faces, too. All right, now let's hear from a couple of the Bears for the Packers-Bears game coming up. And tight end Martellus Bennett, what else did he have to say as we go into his clip, Steve?
Well, one of the things he talked about, and it's not in this clip, but he was asked about the game last year up in Green Bay, which is a disaster for Bears fans. And he goes, you know, I don't really watch TV, so, you know, I don't think about it. So he's very much living in the moment.
I really don't notice the difference. The guys they had in were doing a great job besides, you know, Alshon making the catches that he makes. But for me, I'm just so locked in and focused on worrying about my job and what I'm supposed to do. I can't really worry about the guys outside of me or what everyone else is doing. I just try to make sure I'm in the right place I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there and get my job done. So that's just been my focus, working on my technique and my game plan and what I have to do to win my one-on-one battle. So I really, you know, I think all the other guys are doing the same thing, planning to win their one-on-one battles in this game. There's going to be a lot of man-to-man, which is exciting. And all these guys, everyone's just working their plan for the guys that's covering them, and that's what I do at practice. And when I watch the tape, this is my first time really seeing. After when I watched the practice tape, it's my first time seeing what everybody else does at practice.
Yeah, that's a solid spot for the Bears, tight end with Martellus Bennett. Now, John Fox, he a good guy to, I mean, you've covered Tressman, you've covered Dick Geron, you've covered Lovie Smith. What's Fox like? And then we'll get into his clip.
Well, you know, he's a lunch pail kind of guy. I think he, you know, would be very familiar, the same mentality they have up in Green Bay. So hopefully it makes a difference. But, you know, between the other coaches you mentioned, other than one Lovie Smith trip to the Super Bowl, I mean, that's where John Fox has been. He's taken a team to the Super Bowl.
Taken two teams, actually. All right, let's hear from Fox, coach of the Bears.
Well, I think our wide receiver help has been well documented. We didn't get a lot of looks in the preseason, but, you know, I liked what I've seen out here in our preparation for Green Bay. You know, it helps with good players. I think, you know, having a good depth on your roster, you know, and really, I think people that have been successful have overcome all those things, and that's really the difference. It's a tough game played by tough people. I think you overcome a lot of obstacles, and those are play-to-play, week-to-week, season-to-season. So I think just a matter of who executes the best typically wins the game. We talked about some of Green Bay's successes here of late, and, you know, I think that's something they've done and done a good job of balancing their attack. And, you know, they, you know, acquired Eddie Lacy, and I think they put a little more stock in their front as far as offensive line wise, and they're able to have balance. So there's no question balance helps, and you know, protecting the football, you know, it's a little less risky when you do that.
Okay, John Fox, and in the last 5 years, the Bears have won one game against the Packers. But were you popping popcorn there, or was it raining, Steve?
It was raining, and literally in a rainstorm. Now, fortunately, I didn't get there in time, so I do want to thank Cheryl Ray for providing me with that audio clip. But it was not the press corps wasn't too happy because it was literally in a rainstorm. And he's given this because he likes to give the press conferences outside immediately after practice.
Makes sense. Then he doesn't have to get ready and come in front of the press. He's right there. More coaches should do that. That makes sense. And Steve goes to Hallis Hall each week, and so he will do it next week. We'll get audio from the Bears on the Weekend Sports Report. Now, from the Chicago Tribune, We bring in longtime writer Fred Mitchell. Fred, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
All right. Good to have you. And you've covered a lot of Packer-Bears games. Are there any that stand out in the history of the ones that you've covered?
Well, perhaps one of the most controversial was the game up in Green Bay where Bukowski threw the controversial touchdown pass where it was thought that he crossed the line of scrimmage before he made the throw, and instant replay was relatively new at that point, and reversed let the touchdown stand, and that certainly caused quite an uproar. Certainly with the Bears organization, I think they had an asterisk next to that final score for many years in the media guide. But there have been a lot of great games of the Bears Packers games that I've seen, both as a young kid, as a fan out at Wrigley Field when the Bears played, and then as a professional journalist. I remember, I think it was a 10-3 game that the Bears won at Wrigley Field that stands out in my mind years and years and years ago. It's always an intense battle. The rivalry hasn't been nearly the same for many years with the Packers dominating the way they have. But there's still a certain feeling that you get whenever those two teams meet.
Well, and you mentioned that Mikowski game. In 1989, the Packers had a surprising season that year, winning 10 games, but they still lost to the Bears all the time. That was huge for the Packers. Now, it's kind of the opposite now. The Bears really need a win against Green Bay. The last one they had was when Aaron Rodgers was injured a couple of years ago in that Green Bay-Chicago game at Lambeau Field. Do you sense around the Bears that there's a real desperation to beat Green Bay, that it's becoming, really tough to take getting beat by the Packers all the time?
Yeah, I don't know if it's desperation so much as it's exasperation. It's that, this is a team and a quarterback in Jay Cutler in particular who have had no success to speak of against the Packers. And that there's, been different head coaches and coordinators and different playing personnel from the Bears standpoint, and they have not been able to solve the mystery of whether it's Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Those guys seem to be the difference more times than not.
Fred Mitchell with us from the Chicago Tribune, and we're talking Packers and Bears this week. And Steve goes to Hallis Hall too. So, Steve, I really didn't ask you your thoughts on this game.
Well, I hate to say it, and unless something unusual happens or the team bus gets lost, I've got to believe that the Packers have such an edge, and the Bears are coming off all those injuries with the wide receiver position. The only strength I think they've got is in the running game. They certainly don't have any advantage in quarterback.
All right, Steve. Fred Mitchell with us, and Fred, your new coaching staff, John Fox, Adam Gase. Oh, your impressions so far.
Well, there seemed to be certainly a veteran coaching staff and seem to be good teachers. And, it's one thing to have good teachers, and it's another thing to have the willingness to learn and adapt on the other end from the player's standpoint. And what generally creates an ideal learning atmosphere is to get some victories that generally gets the attention of the players and gets the players to respect the coaches more and more. So that's going to be a process, and it's something certainly we're all going to monitor in the media as if this season progresses the way most of us fear it will for the Bears, then there's the opportunity for finger pointing, dissension, you name it, a lot of negativity. So the response, if they go out of the gate, let's say 0-3 or 1-5 or whatever it might be, how are these players going to respond? Will they redouble their efforts or will they go the other direction? So that to me, is going to be key as far as how effective the coaching staff is going to be.
So, Fred, I have a question, and I know the Bears obviously did not know that they would have all these injuries in the wide receiver position, but do you think, somewhat in hindsight, letting Brandon Marshall go was a good idea or not?
Well, from a purely football standpoint, no, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. This is a guy who's arguably your most reliable receiver when healthy, a guy you go to in a red zone, which is always an area of concern, particularly for the Bears. So he has been the go-to guy. Now, as far as obviously the Bears trying to change the culture in the locker room and the so-called leadership in the locker room, they felt that they had to make that move to get rid of Brandon Marshall. So, you know, we'll see. It's probably the simple answer to that. But just from a production standpoint, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to get rid of.
Fred Mitchell from the Chicago Tribune. Fred, thanks very much for coming on the Weekend Sports Report with us. Hopefully we can do it as the season progresses a time or two more, all right?
I look forward to that. Hopefully we'll have some surprising news regarding the Bears.
Well, I'm a Packer fan, so I hope the news is kind of the same as it's been the last 5 years or so. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on.
Okay, you bet. Take care, guys.
All right, Fred Mitchell from the Chicago Tribune. Now we bring in our next guest from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show today.
How are you guys doing today?
All right, doing fine. This recording is happening on September 11th. It is the 14th anniversary of 9/11. And, of course, we want to send out our thoughts to all the families involved in that tragedy. And, Jeff, you might want to say a few words on that, and then we'll move into football.
Well, you know, just a difficult time. I'm the son of a police officer and a former United States Marine myself. So you always have to appreciate the heroism of the men and women that run towards the danger while everyone else is running away from it. You know, their lives hopefully weren't lost in vain. And, you know, it was a good time for us in the aftermath in that we came together and really celebrated our patriotism. And I think that we began to take on a new appreciation for our civil servants and our military. I mean, how many times did you see anyone in a restaurant or out in public thank a service member for their service before those events? So horrible day, but you know, the way that we reacted, you know, I think it makes us all proud.
All right, Jeff, and thank you for your service. Now, Jeff comes from Phoenix, Arizona, to us on this show today, but he is originally from Cleveland. So we talk about the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes cities on this show. But, you know, you are in Arizona. I want to touch on the Cardinals and the Saints coming up. That's a good matchup for week one, and you're right there in Phoenix. You know, that's a tough game to pick. I was going down the schedule, and I'm like, the Cardinals are kind of one of those teams that really could do very well, but you just never know as far as the injuries to Carson Palmer and if he'll make it through the whole year and what effect that would have. They did pick up Matt Barkley from the Philadelphia Eagles, so now you've got Barkley and Stanton at number two, and then Carson Palmer, your starting quarterback. That's a good matchup for week one, Jeff.
Yeah, and they also rid themselves of the albatross that was Logan Thomas as the third string, fourth string practice squad quarterback. He's moved on. He's with the Miami Dolphins. So depth at quarterback certainly is something that's integral to playing when you have an older guy like Carson Palmer, when you have a guy that's susceptible to injury like Carson Palmer. One thing that I think that the Cardinals have going for them is that this game is being played in Glendale, Arizona. In the last five times these two teams have met, and they've played 29 times throughout their history, the last five times these two teams have met, the home team has won, and the Arizona Cardinals have also won their last five home openers. Now, what's in the past is in the past, but there's certainly a precedent that favors the Cardinals here.
When you look at the Saints, they lost what many people consider their best receiver with Jimmy Graham. Offensively, that's a kind of a different lineup in New Orleans that we might not be all that used to, although there's still some stalwarts there.
I think as the roster has evolved since Sean Payton took over the Saints, Drew Brees has been able to adjust. You know, it was Colston for a while. You know, after that, it was Jimmy Graham, like you said. And I think that the second-year player out of Oregon State, Brandon Cooks, is in for a big year, and I think that he's going to be Brees' number one target, and rightfully so. He's a little undersized, but he uses that to his advantage. You know, he's quick rather than strong. And, you know, the Saints have been able to throw the ball. You know, Drew Brees doesn't have the size either, and Peyton's designed an offense that makes it work for him.
Jeff Rich with us. You can hear Jeff Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Sports Byline Network at sportsbyline.com. You can hear him every week there. And a couple hours, they go through a whole variety of different things on that program. Sportsbyline.com is the website, and he also has a website of his own and a podcast of his own called Suits and Laterals. And Jeff, tell us about Suits and Laterals, and then we'll move into the rest of the NFL.
Well, Suits and Laterals is a podcast that's performed by or podcasted by Damian Bowman, Chris Green, and myself. And we take on the NFL from a couple different angles. We talk about what happens on the field, but we also stress certain issues that happen off the field. And this week with the investigative reports from ESPN, it's Outside the Lines, and Sports Illustrated about the Patriots, about how detailed the whole Spygate scandal was, how Bill Belichick and this character, Ernie Adams, manipulated the NFL for 15 years and possibly even longer than that, because Adams was with Belichick in Cleveland. And one of the things that real quick that I use to connect the dots here, and it's just to kind of bring a Cleveland angle to this, is if the Browns were cheating, how come they didn't win anything? Well, they did win something. They made the playoffs in 1994. They beat the Dallas Cowboys in a year that the Cowboys finished one game behind the 49ers in the NFC, giving the 49ers home field advantage. And when you look at the Cowboys schedule, they played the 16th game of the season against the Giants like they didn't care because they didn't have anything to play for. So it could have been the Dallas Cowboys playing in that Super Bowl against Stan Humphries and the San Diego Chargers had that Browns-Cowboys game gone differently. So it's just interesting to take on the butterfly effect of everything that happened with the Patriots and Belichick, and possibly the Belichick when he was in Cleveland from 91 to 95.
Dave has no idea what the butterfly effect is.
I don't. You're right. What is the butterfly effect?
It's supposedly, if you go back through history, if a butterfly flaps his wings, the whole world changes. You know, that's chaos in action, I guess.
It was also a movie with Ashton Kutcher, which was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a really good movie, and I don't know if it just came out before its time, but you go back and watch that movie, it's really interesting the way that they paint that picture.
You think the Patriots are a bunch of cheaters?
I think it's hard to read those articles and come up with any other conclusion. You know, throughout this whole thing, I thought that there's been a little bit of a witch hunt against the Patriots. I've kind of changed my tune on that, though.
All right, Jeff Rich with us. So now let's look at the rest of the National Football League. And we've covered the Packers and the Bears pretty extensively, the Cardinals and the New Orleans Saints. And that's in Glendale, so that should be a good one. Pittsburgh at New England already on Thursday night, and New England looked pretty good already coming out of the gate. That Pittsburgh defense has some trouble. A comment on that game just shortly before we go into what's coming up Sunday, Jeff.
A lot of what we expected. Pittsburgh should be able to score points in the bunches. Unfortunately, they're on their third kicker since they broke camp. And it showed Josh Gobe not hitting the field goals. And he wasn't even kicking in Heinz Field. He was kicking up at Gillette Stadium. So the Steelers left a lot of points on the board. They made a run at the end. But ultimately, the Patriots are still the Patriots. And Rob Gronkowski, what a weapon he is for Tom Brady there.
All right, but Denver, another interesting matchup. I like Baltimore there. What about you?
I think that Baltimore's a pretty trendy Super Bowl pick. The Broncos still have Peyton Manning, but who knows how they're going to adjust back into the zone running scheme with the Gary Kubiak coming into the fold. I think that C.J. Anderson's poised to have a pretty big year, but I think that the Denver Broncos' success hinges on the health of Peyton Manning, and I don't have a lot of confidence that that's going to be something that's sustainable through a 16-game schedule.
Another interesting game, I think, Indianapolis at Buffalo. You know, the Bills had a winning season last year, and then their coach goes away. Now Rex Ryan comes in, and Indianapolis, you know, they got a lot of new parts there. I actually like Buffalo. What about you?
I think those are two teams really on the rise in the AFC. I mean, you can't say enough about Andrew Luck, but the Buffalo quarterback situation seemed like it was up in the air, and it looks like Tyrod Taylor came in and won that job. Rex Ryan's a heck of a football coach. I don't think that he gets enough praise for what he did with so little in New York those first couple years that he was there. I mean, he went to two AFC championships with Mark Sanchez. That Buffalo defense, you know, they're going to be a challenge. We're going to see just how good Andrew Luck is there in Indianapolis. You know, I mean, he's got some weapons around him, but, you know, nobody gets overly excited about guys like T.Y. Hilton. And Frank Gore comes in to add an element to their running game. It could be, you know, the Colts could score points in the bunches this year. Let's see what they can do on defense. I mean, that's kind of been the story with the Indianapolis Colts since they drafted Peyton Manning.
And speaking of Indianapolis, so Jeff, were you the stand-in for Andrew Luck, the bearded Andrew Luck? Amazing how fast your beard grew back. Our listeners can't see that, but, you know, trust me.
Well, you know, I put on a shirt this morning, but I could be like, you know, big bearded Andrew Luck, and, you know, instead of having DirecTV, I just have a beard that's big enough to get away without wearing a shirt.
God, bearded Andrew Luck. They've got those rolling, those DirecTV spots.
Which one do you like?
Jeff can wail the. I kind of like the petite Randy Moss.
Yeah,
that's kind of
that.
Funny. That's kind of funny. All right, let's get back.
That's a good call, Dave. Yeah, that's a really good call. And you look at a guy like Randy Moss who didn't have any endorsement deals throughout his career, and he's got all sorts of personality now that he's gone into the studio. That's my favorite as well.
Yeah, but you know why Dave likes petite Randy Moss? Because he can relate.
Okay, Steve, that's funny stuff. Okay, let's move on here to the NFC North teams. The Vikings play Monday night at San Francisco. I think that's an interesting matchup, and I am taking Minnesota in that game because I like Teddy Bridgewater, and I like the return of Adrian Peterson, and I think there's a bit of chaos and loss of talent in San Francisco.
Minnesota. Minnesota's a slight favorite on the road there. I don't know that the 49ers are as much of a dumpster fire as everyone's made them out to be. Yes, this offseason's been awful, but there's still a big foundation of success. You know, when Jim Harbaugh left Stanford, David Shaw took over the program and took it to new levels. I don't know that Jim Tomsula is that same guy, but they've got some things there that they can get done, but you know, Minnesota's another one of those teams on the rise. Let's see how Adrian Peterson returns from basically a year away from football.
Okay. You know, and if Aaron Rodgers did one of those DirecTV, he should say, "I'm Aaron Rodgers." And then he'd be, he does the State Farm. He does a lot of things. I think Aaron Rodgers would be good, but what would his alter be on that? What do you think?
Do you guys have any other questions for me?
Farmer Aaron Rodgers.
Farmer Aaron Rodgers? That might be kind of fun.
There was fake Aaron Rodgers that you know, had to do the commercials throughout the playoffs because the Packers had a little bit of a deep run in the playoffs. And that guy looked a lot like Aaron Rodgers, didn't he?
Kind of did. Yeah, I remember that fake Aaron Rodgers. And the Lions and the San Diego Chargers in San Diego. That's a good matchup, too. But I'm taking San Diego at home.
That's not a unwise pick. The Lions, you keep waiting for them to turn the corner, but I don't know that they've ever put it together, and I don't know that Haloti Ngata fills the void left behind by Ndamukong Suh going to Miami.
All right. Well, Jeff, we'll do it again next week. Check them out, sportsbyline.com, Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, and the podcast, suitsandlaterals.com. Jeff, thanks a lot.
We'll catch up next week, fellas.
All right, we'll do it. And Steve and I will be back after this. You are listening to the Weekend Sports Report. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll. The handy paint tray, roller cup, and roller pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use handy ladder pail for all your projects. The safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with handy paint pail products.
No doubt about it. Life is getting louder. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about putting a hush on all that hubbub right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
It's amazing how much noise pollution we're bombarded with every day. From electronics to traffic and lawnmowers to airplanes, we just can't escape all that unwanted noise. If building or remodeling is in your not-too-distant future, here are some things you can do to help reduce that clamor. Insulated window units are a good step to eliminate a lot of the noise from reaching the inside of your home. But keep in mind, not all of the noise is coming from outside. You should also consider rooms that generate more noise than others, such as home offices, nurseries, and laundry rooms. In these cases, a good solution is soundproofing the walls by installing an acoustic barrier like insulation between the studs. There's also sound deadening drywall available that will absorb most of all of the noise from one room before it ever reaches other areas of the house. I'm Danny Lippard with tips for today's homeowner.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. buyXcluder.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-262-9159. Again, that's 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
He'd be like over 50 years old now. That movie is so old. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I am Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. It's the Weekend Sports Report. Now we bring in, from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, our professor of sports, to talk Major League Baseball, John Poulter. John, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Dave. How are you? And hello to you, Steve.
Hey, John.
All right, we're both doing fine. By the way, glad that your mother-in-law made it through her surgery well, and she is at your place and resting, and we're very happy about that. Jane and I think the world of her, so congratulations on that, and tell her we
said. We're real happy that she's home and doing very well, so thanks for thinking about her.
Okay, John, back to my original question and comment. The Blue Jays, please.
Well, the weatherman won the game on Thursday night. The opening game of the Yankee series was rained out. Will be made up as part of a single-ticket doubleheader on Saturday. The original series was supposed to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It will now be Friday, two games on Saturday, one game on Sunday. A much-anticipated series, given that there's only a game and a half between the two teams at the top of the division. So now we get the action in 3 days rather than four. So I think all of us here are going to be finding our TV sets rather quickly this weekend.
Yeah, the weatherman also went out in Chicago where the Cubs against the in Philadelphia where the Cubs got washed out in their game against the Phillies, and they're also in the thick of it too against the Pirates. But let's get back and talk more about this series because it is pretty pivotal between the Yanks and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's for the Blue Jays, they definitely have to split the series. They can't afford to lose three out of the four. They lose three out of the four, they leave town in second place by a half a game, and the Yankees have that one game still to play. The Blue Jays have played an extra game somewhere along the line that obviously will catch up before the end of the season. But I think for the Blue Jays, the very least they have to do is split this series, leave the city the same way they came in, and then it'll come down to those three games in Toronto, which is next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 21st through the 23rd. So we're looking forward to that as well. And I'm getting to the point now where I feel that the Blue Jays have definitely got a postseason spot locked up. It's going to come down to whether it's the division title or whether it's one of the wild card games. I can't see them finding a way to lose this now. Obviously, you'd like to have the extra home game in the division series, but postseason is postseason. It hasn't been here for 22 years, so let's enjoy it while we have it.
Absolutely. I'm sure people there must be pretty excited. And yeah, so exactly, with the split in New York, at least they get to go serve first, so to speak, in New York and then come back home and try to defend. As we've talked about for a while, it's a two-team race, but it's certainly going to be exciting down the stretch here in Toronto. Everything else, with the possible exception in the AL of Houston and Texas, and I guess Los Angeles still has a shot at it, is going to come down to what squares off. And then if you win your division, you're playing against a wild card team in the second round, or what would be the first round, I guess.
Yeah, how it works, Steve, is that the team with the best regular season record plays the wild card game winner. So Kansas City has pretty much got that locked up. They're four games ahead of the Blue Jays in terms of the overall season record. So whoever wins the wild card game is going to be playing Kansas City, and it looks as though Toronto or the Yankees are going to be playing Houston or Texas. I guess mathematically I can't count the Angels out. They're only 5.5 games out, but I think realistically we're talking Houston and Texas fighting for that AL West spot. And if we'd have said at the start of the year that Texas and Houston were fighting it out for the AL West, somebody would have thought we were talking about a year other than 2015, because that's two teams that nobody saw having a chance at the postseason. Both improving teams, both teams that are rebuilding, but I don't think anybody even thought that they could contend for a division title.
Well, the Texas got Josh Hamilton back. Has that been a big factor this year?
Hard to say. I think he's obviously played a lot better for Texas than he ever did in Los Angeles. He didn't play for Los Angeles this year, of course, because of the injury and the off-the-field issues. He's been injured quite a bit since he went back to Texas, but when he's played, he's contributed. So, yes, he's been a factor. But what has surprised me is that Texas did not have their top pitcher, Yu Darvish, for the whole season. And they're still in the thick of things with 3 weeks to go. So that's probably been the biggest shock to me in terms of where Texas has come from, more so than the Hamilton situation, Steve.
In baseball, I mean, outside of a pitching staff, can one player really carry a team?
Yes, I believe he can. If he's pitching, if you want to look at it outside of a pitching staff, a power hitter can certainly carry a team. And I think a leadoff hitter with some speed can carry a team because he makes the rest of the team play a little bit better. You get a leadoff guy that gets on and he's a threat to steal the base. The pitcher pays attention to the base runner more than the hitter. That makes the hitter a better hitter. You've got the same situation with a power hitter. You've got guys protecting him. A good hitter will make the hitters around him in a lineup that much better. And, obviously baseball is pitching and hitting, but it's more pitching than it is hitting. So if you can improve your hitting by getting a guy hot and having the players around him feed off that, yes, I think a player can carry a team. It's not likely to happen, but it can.
All right, well, let's jump over to the National League. And I saw a story. I don't know if it was, I think it was on Yahoo Sports, where they talked about the biggest disappointments of the year. And right at the very top of the list, number one with a bullet, were the Washington Nationals.
They have been, to me, they've been the biggest disappointment in the National League all season. You look at the talent on that team and you have to wonder how on earth They're sitting in second position, only three games above 500. I thought last week they were getting back into that race. They had an opportunity to pick up some serious ground on the Mets. The games were in Washington. The Mets went in there and swept the series. So I have to think that that was Washington's chance. I think it's now gone. The lead is 7.5. I just don't see the Mets blowing a 7.5 game lead. My guess there is that Matt Williams is in some serious trouble in terms of running that baseball club. And I would not be surprised if we saw a managerial change in Washington at the end of the year. The continuous disappointments, they're just astounding. I just don't see how a team with that kind of talent and that kind of a pitching staff is struggling the way that it is. I thought they were the best team in the National League at the start of the season, and clearly I was wrong in that estimation.
So let's jump over in the NL Central, where, interestingly enough, this week the Cubs went down to St. Louis and took 2 out of 3. Now, it's probably not going to really affect St. Louis's ability to win the division, but it did give Pittsburgh perhaps a little crack in the door.
Well, it may have done, and the Cardinals have picked a terrible time to fall into a slump. I think they've lost 5 games out of their last 7, and not looked very good in any of those losses. The Pirates have closed the gap to 4.5. I think the National League wildcard spots are pretty well sewn up now between Pittsburgh and Chicago. San Francisco and the rest of the league, I guess Washington is the next team. They're 9 and 9.5 games back, respectively. So I don't see them closing that gap. But what's concerning me about the Cardinals is that, they should be at a point now where they're getting healthy towards the end of the season. They've got a big enough lead. They should be able to rest some players. And here they are losing games that they shouldn't be losing. And they lost on Thursday night to Cincinnati by a score of 11-0. And Cincinnati's been a horrible team all season. They're sitting 29.5 games back in that division. They're in last place. They're already eliminated. Why the Cardinals are losing to them is puzzling. And the Cardinals started Grichuk in center field on Wednesday with an admission that he couldn't throw the ball. Now, to me, when you've got September call-ups and you're a team in first place, why you're starting a guy in center field that can't throw is beyond my imagination as to why that can happen. But hopefully it's not a sign of panic. But I think the Cardinals did build a big enough lead that they're probably safe there. But it's definitely going to get interesting before the end of the season for those next two spots.
Yeah, and you can tell the Cubs are already thinking playoffs because they basically announced that Jake Arrieta will start that one-game wild-card playoff game.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a surprise. If we'd have had this conversation at the start of the season, we probably would have said that Lester was the guy that we expected to start that game. But the way that that has developed this year, Arrieta, to me, has become a much better pitcher than Lester has, at least this season. And I think we chatted last week, and we agreed that Lester might even be the number 3 guy on that rotation right now.
Yeah, so, that kind of pretty much covers the baseball thing. I know we want to talk quickly a little bit about soccer before we head out the door. And before we even talk about the English Premier League, you, I guess, probably didn't watch it, but I watched the painful game between the U.S. and Brazil. And admittedly, it was a friendly, but, the U.S. doesn't take any of these games for granted. And they're, really trying to get basically set up for their October 10th game against Mexico. Whichever team wins that goes into play the champions game in Russia in advance of the 2018 World Cup. And so it's sort of a one-game playoff between the U.S. and Mexico. And while the U.S. just looked terrible against Brazil, they couldn't stop them. Brazil had some easy chances. Then I watched part of the Mexico-Argentina game, and Argentina is one of the top clubs in the world, and Mexico was basically holding their own with them.
Well, I think Mexico looked pretty good in that Gold Cup series, and I think that surprised a lot of people. Mexico's been a sort of what I would refer to as a second-tier team for a number of years. They're not up there with the big boys, but they're not down with the smaller countries either. So they're kind of one of those borderline countries. And of course, now a lot of their players are getting experience over in Europe, specifically in the Premier League. So it's not surprising that, Mexico is coming along the way that it is. And of course, huge population there. So the audience in terms of drawing players is somewhat unlimited, perhaps not as unlimited as the U.S., but obviously in terms of development, Mexico is a heck of a lot further along. Just out of curiosity, as you mentioned, I did not see the game Brazil-U.S. What kind of a team did Brazil field? Did they field a reasonably strong B-plus team, or did they go all
out? Oh, no, they
out?
Had some – they had David Luiz in there. You know, they also brought in Neymar at halftime, and he originally said he didn't want to play because he can't play in the first two qualifiers, but I guess they brought him out at halftime, and he promptly scored two goals.
Yeah, well, there's a big surprise. If put him on the – put him on the field, you're likely to get a couple of goals. Hopefully it doesn't set the U.S. back too far in terms of their development, but it certainly does put some pressure on them now for that last spot.
Thanks, John, once again, and we'll do this again next week as per usual. Okay, Dave?
All right, Steve. Good work, John. Good work, Steve. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, you can check us out at internetfm.com each week, internetfm.com. Also available via iTunes out there. You can hear us on tunein.com. And, of course, the easy one. Every Friday morning, shows are posted at PackerDaveShow.com. All right.
What else do you get at PackerDave.com? Do you get your recipes, beer of the month?
You get a lot of stuff, I'll tell you. You know, when our band is playing, you get links to really good home improvement shows. And some good rock stations, pop stations. There's a station up there called softhits.net. And it's not necessarily my bag, softhits.net. But it's got Elton John, you know, Tina Turner, that type of thing. You know, Billy Joel. Check it out sometime. That guy's a friend of mine that runs that station. And, of course, you have your own station, Steve. I know that.
Yeah, Dave, you know what my secret to home improvement is?
Oh, yeah, hire out.
Or leaving.
All right. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Come back next week on the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. He's Steve Leventhal. For John Poulter, Jeff Rich, Fred Mitchell, and all the rest on the program. Have a great week. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get the bears, come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir!
Let's get out of here.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1989 on The Year in Sports. The San Francisco 49ers came off a 17-2 season to go on to the most lopsided game in Super Bowl history to date. The 49ers' 55 points were the most ever scored by one team, and their 45-point margin of victory over the Broncos was the largest ever. The NBA championship was a rematch of the previous year's round between the Detroit Pistons and the LA Lakers. This time, however, it was the Pistons over the Lakers in a four-game sweep. The World Series that year is best remembered as the Earthquake Series. It caused a 10-day disruption in play. It also was the most one-sided contest in the history of the World Series. The Oakland A's led all but two innings of the four-game sweep. San Francisco never had the lead. In Stanley Cup playoff action, the Calgary Flames won an all-Canadian final against the Montreal Canadiens 4-2. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1989 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Are squirrels attacking your bird feeder or getting into your chimney or attic? This is Danny Lifter with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a humane way to solve this fuzzy tail problem right after this.
Siding that captures the look and feel of natural wood and is easy to maintain, you can have both with Royal Estate Siding. Living with Royal Estate means never having to trade sag resistance and low maintenance for timeless exterior design and curb appeal. Its partial rollover hem provides exceptional wind load resistance, and it comes in a wide range of UV-resistant colors that match virtually any home. Wood grain presence and effortless endurance come together in the same siding. Learn more about Royal Estate Siding at royalbuildingproducts.com.
Squirrels can be entertaining to watch, jumping, playing, and swinging like acrobats. But for the most part, they're mischievous little rodents who sometimes get into and mess up our homes. You need to get rid of them, but issues of conscience aside, killing them isn't the solution since they might die inside your home, creating a smellier problem. The solution, believe it or not, may be shaving cream. Squirrels hate the stuff. If you have squirrels in your chimney, attic, or attacking food in bird feeders, try creating a barrier of shaving cream. Here's another suggestion. While it may smell good to you, squirrels also hate the smell of aftershave lotion even more. So if these furry little acrobats have invaded your home, don't reach for the poison. Just give them a fragrant splash and watch them run away. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. buyXcluder.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-262-9159. Again, that's 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a TOCO warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With TOCO warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With TOCO, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call TOCO Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.com.